We are just on the verge of announcing a name change at the Susan B. Anthony House. We've been rechartered as a museum through the New York State Education Corporation. We've been a charity or a charitable organization. And we are going to become the Susan B. Anthony Museum and House. And we're very excited about that. We get fewer than 10,000 visitors at our site, and we do have plans in the future to expand the site and be able to handle a larger audience. Also, because we can tell more of the story, have more exhibits, more interpretive materials without putting the house itself at risk or having too much traffic there. But the other piece is that most of the people who visit the Susan B. Anthony House nowadays do it online. We have more than 200 countries that visit us every month, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia. And so we're aware that we're telling the story online to an international audience, more than 300,000 people a year. And so we are going to be very intentional and are working now to develop our international presence and to think about ways that we can take that story and experience of inspiration that is so very real and tangible when you stand in her bedroom or when you're in the room where she was arrested and put it in front of people and help people around the world connect with the message of human rights and Susan B. Anthony. You know, she said, when I die, pass by but carry on with the work. And so,
well, you know, one other thing is that I was so impressed at one point. I don't know if the photos are still up, but photos of women's marches around that time throughout the world and people who are affected by her. I mean, there are so many dimensions that could be explained to people. And I think I just feel as though Rochester needs to honor people such as Susan B. in a bigger way, a really bigger way. And I mean, it would be good for everybody, educating our own children, educating ourselves, and how important she was. I think still an average Rochesterian doesn't think much about. I could be wrong, but anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, half of our visitors are from outside of our area.
I'd like to talk, if I can, now that Marilyn's call raises the question about what's next for you, because, again, yes, you do get about 10,000. That's a few hundred visitors in a typical day, which I imagine is enough to keep you busy. But by the same token, you obviously want to get still more folks through the door and exposed to the environment in which Susan B. Anthony lived and worked. So that being the case, as you're making that transition from the home to an actual chartered museum, first of all, how soon does the name change take official effect and become public and part of the website, and the stationery, and the whole nine yards?
Well, we just got the clearance that we've trademarked the new name yesterday, so you'll be seeing that roll out pretty fast now. And we'll still always keep the Susan B. Anthony House also as a trademark and a brand because that's well recognized. And we did put museum before house because we really think that it's an international responsibility that we have. So
it does imply a shift in focus to the facility, though. So what's likely to change and evolve over time as it becomes more of a museum and less just a time capsule of a house?
Well, the house will always be central, but it might be in a couple of years when you come to the house. You've been to the house a number of times, and as much as people love to redo that, but maybe you would be looking at the brand new exhibit that's talking about voting rights for women in other parts of the country. Maybe you would be experiencing the exhibit where which allows children in a hands-on way to understand the barriers of transportation and how much courage and perseverance it really took. Maybe you would be have an opportunity to see a corset and think about dress reform and in what way is clothing a barrier or does it allow us to be free in culture today. The story that Susan B. Anthony opens up, and we see our core story to always start with her, is so much bigger and broader than has even begun to be told. And so what we want is space and a facility and a way to be where you can come back and hear a whole new element that you'd never heard before, be touched by it in an entirely new way.
So there'll be new physical static exhibits. Will the presentation change in terms of who you meet and who you hear from in the course of that. What might change in that regard?
Yeah, we would imagine that. We do have some limitations because we are in a preservation district and we want to respect the footprint there. But we do have some plans to expand the site, as I mentioned. But our first real growth in the next couple years is going to be changing that online experience so that we can make available to that audience in the world more and more of the story. Every month, our volunteer docents, we have 110 volunteers who give the tours. We have an in-house newsletter that we call Miss Anthony's Kitchen. That's because the volunteers used to be in the kitchen when we were all in one building. And in that newsletter are always some updates about what we're doing with restoration, some interesting things about the artifacts that we've discovered, and also an historical story that's been lifted up. Well, the world should be getting those stories. So I would hope in a year or two our members would be looking forward to getting their update on whatever medium they use and hearing another story where they could say, I had no idea. Thank you, Susan.
So the website is going to change considerably. Presumably some programs are going to change. I imagine there will be comparisons to other evolving museum facilities. I don't know why, but I thought of the Baseball Hall of Fame at Cooperstown as a possible analog to it. It's also a chartered museum where they hold a lot of conversations, seminars, websites, talks. Is that going to be something that's in your future? Or will the constraints of the actual footprint of the space limit that somewhat?
Well, you know, Susan B. Anthony has a model for us because she had home base at Madison Street and did a lot of the coordinating from there. But the work was done out and about. So we get about 1,000 Girl Scouts who come to the house every year. And Girl Scouts have been asking us to find a way to share that experience nationally. We would imagine a Girl Scout from Alaska getting on with a Girl Scout from New Mexico and one from Indiana and maybe one from Toronto to experience a tour or an educational experience together where they could build relationships in community where just in the same way that Susan B. Anthony would connect two people who would then connect 10 more people to build a movement, we could be sharing the story and reaching out. And the energy would come from those people in their locations, but we would share the inspiration.